down and welcome him.
My name's Ed Nominati. And I'd like to thank the committee for having me come up. And if I get to talking and you don't understand, or if I get to mumbling or something, you know, I don't know if the fire marshal'd mind if you come and stood up front or anything. But, oh, no, she says no. Rules and regulations, you know. I didn't come up here to scold anybody or tell you that you was doing it wrong or you was doing it different or anything like that. I'm just up here to tell my story. And I know from my past experience that a lot of that will piss some of you off. And I'll tell you what the guy told me. He says, you either need to write about it or go get loaded. And, you know, thank you. There's not much that, in the way of using, that I can stand here and tell you different than you don't already know. I know when I got clean, I found out more about using sitting in the rooms than I did on the street. Because my clean date is May the 2nd, 1977. Thank you. And I still carry my chip in my pocket. My first sponsor told me that if I carried it in my pocket and I wanted to use, I put it in my mouth, and when it dissolved, I could use. So I still got it. And back several years ago, when I didn't have a motorcycle, it's the only time in my life I didn't have one. I had a lot of bills and sold it to pay for some bills, but they wanted to change my nickname. I told them when they changed my clean date, they could change my nickname. So nobody argues with me about that anymore. But one of the things about being up here that is a lot different is the spotlight and the lights turned low and all that. And I'm used to looking at the people. I know all y'all can see me, but I can't see all of y'all. But I can see one or two of you. And that's all it takes, one or two. You know, because, I mean, if you have more than the number of people in a meeting that can share within an hour, somebody needs to start another meeting. Because if you don't, somebody's getting chipped. You know, if you got 40 people in the meeting and 10 of them share during the meeting, what's the other 30 doing? You know, and rightly so, some of them need to be there and not share. You know, because they ain't got no recovery to share. They just coming in the door. I know when I got here, I was full of bullshit. Had a scam going that wasn't working too good, but I still had it. And you know, you give us 30 days clean and we can bounce back quick. And that's what happened to me. I got 30 days clean and got to worried about who was going to ride on the back of the motorcycle. And my first sponsor said, I will. Now, you know, I got to tell you, in 1977, there wasn't too much Narcotics Anonymous around. And when I started getting help, I wound up in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And I was doing somewhat okay there. You know, they wasn't asking me about anything except the drug alcohol, and I wasn't telling them anything except drug alcohol. You know, I applied straight rule number 43. Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. And sometimes I still apply that rule. If the boss asked me, was I late for work? I don't know, boss. Who's watching? But I got 12-step out of the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. This guy come in one night, and I'd been going around AA. I started in January of 77, and this was about March, late March, early April. And I was sitting in there, and I'd made up my mind I was going to go do something after the meeting. I mean, which wasn't new. I'd been doing things after the AA meeting ever since I got there. And, well, you got a little stash. You can't just flush it all, can you? And, which is what they told me to do, but I didn't do it. And I've done everything I could to get out of that meeting after it was over before he grabbed me. And I got about a foot away from the door, and he stuck out his hand and grabbed me, introduced himself. And 6 hours later, I got loose from him. And what he'd done was brought the message of Narcotics Anonymous to me. And I started coming to Narcotics Anonymous on the pretense of, will there be any good-looking young women there? Because I wasn't about to, you know, still, you know, he'd told me to go home and flush everything. But no, can't do that. That's hard-earned money down the tube. What are you talking about? Not that I'd put hard-earned money down the tube before. I mean, we all have a love affair with a commode at some time, in some form. Yeah. Might be the back seat of the car, somewhere. We all get sick, especially when we start detox. That's the thing people don't want to do. They don't want to get sick in detox. Well, how are you going to get detoxed if you don't get sick? You know, you can't just step Larry down. I mean, you're either clean or you're not clean. Yeah. And that's some of the stuff that people leave on. But anyway, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like when I come to a meeting, I cut my phone off. I've had people tell me to go to hell when I tell them to do that. You know, and I said, well, I'll meet you there. I'll be there for you, probably. Well, I'm 64. And odds are I'm going to die before they will. You know, I mean, if you think you're going to get out alive, you're not. No. Nobody gets out alive. But anyway, my first sponsor was... We rubbed the huffy puffy way. You know, they told us that you need to get somebody to sponsor you, and I said, well, who can that be? And they said, well, anybody that'll talk to you yet. And there wasn't very many that would talk to me because I wasn't talkable. You know, I've been hanging around a bunch of bikers and had hair down to my waist, my beard was down to my belly button, and I said a lot of cuss words just to keep you at bay. And I had some living habits that wasn't quite socially acceptable. So this one gal would talk to me, and she became my first sponsor. And they just, I overheard one of them say, Corey, what do you think you're doing? You're 6 years sober, and he's a newcomer, and you're 36, he's 28, you know, what's going on? And she told him, says, well, I'm talking to him when y'all want. Said, who's at the Krispy Kreme restaurant at 3 a.m. when he's wanting to talk? And that's why she became my sponsor. And I still talk to her today. You know, she's not my sponsor anymore, but she's... only reason she ain't my sponsor is she moved away. I was a newcomer, you know, and she, I was about 9 months clean, and she would decide she was going to move to Oklahoma, and I was in Georgia. And she knew that I needed somebody local and wouldn't sponsor me long distance. So I went and asked the guy that 12-stepped me out of the AA to sponsor me. Now, the first year I was clean, I went to AA because there wasn't any NA to go to. And people tell me all the time, you can't talk about that because it violates traditions. And, you know, by nature of me being here, standing up in front of you, being recorded, is a violation of traditions. By nature of you registering to come to this convention, violates traditions. But the one thing that it does do is carry a message that we can't carry at our home group. Ronnie talked last night about a home group, and I'm probably going to talk about mine too, because I still think it's the best one in the world. You know. But you can't do this at a home group. You can't get 50,000 people in the building that my home group meets in. And if you go to a world convention, you're liable to see that many. Yeah. But this can't do what my home group can do. It can't support me every week. Can't listen to me sit there and share what I think about the basic text or it works out and why. Because that's what my home group does, is the back-to-front literature study. 1 week we'll read a paragraph out of the basic text, next week it'll be out of It Works Out and Why. And there's about 24, 25 people that show up. In a town with one red light. And it's 25 miles away from me, one way. Because when I moved in September, I moved to the country. I got out of the big city. I'm not a big city guy. I was raised in the country, and then I went to the big city to make a living, and when I retired, I wanted to move away, and I did. Just took 40 years of working to do that. I don't know what the first thing that ever really happened other than getting clean. The most important thing that's ever happened to me is I got clean. Bar none. I've had a lot of dreams come true. I've done a lot of things, been a lot of places, talked to a lot of people. Some I wanted to talk to, some I didn't. You stay clean long enough, you'll find addiction in every area of your life. The Alabama State Patrol talked to you about, I was on the way home from Out of the Darkness convention 1 year, and I had homeitis, and I was putting them up and letting them down, and top this hill, and the state patrol was sitting there, and he taught me how speeding could be an addiction. And I'm real glad he didn't lock me up. I was 72 in a 45 work zone. Yeah, I paid the ticket. Thank you very much. I'll go on home now. But I made a vow to myself that I would, the next vehicle I bought would have cruise control. And every vehicle I got has got cruise control on it. And guess what? The ticket stopped. You know, Greg Pierce used to tell me, if you want something different, do something different. You know, and I got a little thing about anonymity. Like, I ain't got much. There's a lot of people that know me. I talk a lot of places and do a lot of different things. And part of the reason they remember me is I'm such a character. And when I was single, I was an acting out character. And one of the things, I went to see somebody one time at the hospital, and they said, "Well, who is it?" Well, I said, "Joe." And they said, "Joe who?" "Well, Joe that comes to meetings." Wrong answer. That little old lady didn't know who Joe that comes to meetings was. So, you know, I got a different understanding about anonymity and how it plays out and our equalness within the fellowship and when the appropriate times, you know. I went a couple of weeks ago with one of the guys, had to go to court. He wanted to do some stuff that required going before the judge, and he wanted to clear up his record a little bit so he could get a better job, and he knew if he went to ask the judge to take some of that stuff off, I mean, the time it went by, and, you know, he wanted to. Anyway, we were standing there talking to the judge, and when I introduced myself, I told him my name's Ed Cox, and I didn't back up a bit. You know, it wasn't none of his business that I was, you know, clean in Narcotics Anonymous. He found out in the conversation that I was. But when I first met him, you know, I presented myself in that way, and that's the way that some of us that do PI, I was talking to somebody a while ago, and, or yesterday, and he was talking about some of the old-timers in their area think that PI is a violation of traditions. Well, it can be if you don't do it according to the handbook. You know, they say that a closed meeting is a violation of traditions. You know, I don't see how a meeting for addicts only is violating traditions. You know, well, the newcomer can't come. Yeah, he can. Well, he can't get his court card signed. Well, he can get it after the meeting. Violating tradition is when we sign those fucking cards during the meeting. You know, ain't nothing in our literature that says we got to sign a court card in the meeting. And if you approach me after the meeting, and if you've been there all the meeting, I'll sign it. But if you come in at 8:30 and want this thing signed at 9, nope, afraid not. You know, your scam's not that good. I want to talk a little bit about the getting a dream. One of the things that a lot of my sponsors, I've had several different sponsors. Some of them my fault. You know, I got mad at one, fired him. And you can do that if you want to. I think, you know, I learned a lot about firing sponsors and sponsoring yourself. There's a real scenario you got to go through to sponsor yourself. And you can stay clean. I stayed clean a year sponsoring myself, but I don't think I grew too much spiritually. But one of the things they got me to do as part of working the steps is start making achievement goals. You know, the first guy that had me do it, you know, said, "Ed, where do you want to be financially in 5 years?" I was, "Well, shit, I don't know." He says, "Well, you better think about it. You know, are you going to work, getting a paycheck, and spending all the money, or what are you doing with it?" And he said, "I'll make it easy." He said, "Why don't you work on where you want to be a year from now, and then work on where you want to be 5 years from now?" And I sat down, you know, and made some goals. And I'll tell anybody, I could pay the bills before Mary and I got married, but I couldn't save anything. part of all these buttons here is from a lot of the different conventions I went to. I don't think I blew that money, but I did spend it. You know, I don't think any money that I've spent in recovery has been wasteful. You know, I've gained a lot from that. Got to stand in a lot of circles. One of the things I learned when I went to speak in Canada is some of the southern slang that I used to use, the little girl down there doing the interpreting can't translate. And when I talked at the bilingual convention in Canada, you know, she stopped dead in her tracks. The girl that was doing it at that time stopped dead in her tracks because I said something and there was not a French word for it. So I've had to clean up my talk a little bit, you know, to meet the circumstance. But one of the big events that changed my life is I got here and they told me that I could get a belief system that worked for me. Now, I was raised Southern Baptist, and when I walked in here last night and knew I was going to be up here, the first thing through my mind was my mama would be real proud of me. Because she wanted me to be a Southern Baptist preacher. And I said, Mama, my God Almighty, what in the world? And before she died, she got to see me get 5 years clean and be the regional rep for the region that I was, Georgia region. And when I told her she wanted me to come over one day, I said, well, my mom fixing to go to California. So we have what they call a service conference, and I'm the delegate from Georgia to go. And I could see the pride in her just start bubbling. And that was a long time coming. Because when I first got clean, she got mad because a bunch of strangers was doing what she couldn't do. And it took her 5 years to get over that. But she did. And, you know, it's kind of like one of the things about Ronnie was talking last night about some of our predators and some of the things that they done and endured and sacrificed and all that. And some of that can't ever be amended for the way that some of the predators have been treated since the writing of the basic text. I don't know if they'll ever get over it. It took me quite a few years to get over what I was involved in. But I do know that some of them, before they died, they got some peace. I know Joseph got some peace, and Larry North got some peace. Greg Pierce got peace. Bill Brooks got peace. You know. And when I stand up here, you know, a lot of times people say, what are you going to do? You're standing up there by yourself. I said, oh no, oh no. I said, everybody that's talked to me, everybody that's helped me with step work, everybody that showed up and let me hug them at the meeting is up here with me. Part of what my prayers were at 4:45 this morning when I woke up, you know, I was wondering how in the world can I talk with that spotlight on me. I've not ever talked with a spotlight shining on me. You know, the lights have always been up and all this. And my prayer, the answer I got this morning is I can talk to the light that's within you. Because that's what's important. The light in me talking to the light in you. And one of the lessons that I got in getting to that point was be sitting in a meeting, and I'm the crutchy old guy that if you come into the meeting and you want to chant or you want to text or you want to side talk to the person next to you, I'm the guy that'll give you a go to hell look. And I used to feel bad about that till I watched somebody come in one night and open up and share in tears, and that was happening on the other side of the room. And they went out and died. Now, I don't think the people that was chit-chatting them doing the side talking actually went out and killed them. But I know they disrupted the atmosphere of recovery that night in that meeting. And that's what I'll stand for, is the protection of the atmosphere of recovery. Now, granted, in days gone by, I've been not very diplomatic in doing that. I used to go to the ASC meeting wearing a 12-inch Bowie knife. And if it got to going the way that I didn't want to go, I'd take the knife out and start cleaning my fingernails. And if it kept not going the way I wanted to go, I'd take and stab the damn thing down into the table. And they'd let me talk. Ed, you held the floor. But I quit wearing the Bowie knife. It got, I got to where I could be a little bit more diplomatic about that. And one of the goals that I set in that step work that I was talking about a while ago was I want to become, and I don't think I'm there yet, but I want to become the elder statesman. I've been the bleeding deacon. And it's easy to be the bleeding deacon. Just raise enough hell and you're it. But it takes a lot of work and spiritual principles to be the elder statesman. Now, if you want to call that being a leader, go ahead. Somebody has to lead. Somebody has to chair the meeting every time we open the doors. And the new person will call them the president of Narcotics Anonymous because they don't know no better. And then they find out now they're just the secretary of the group. Well, what's the pay scale? I mean, they're out of money. They need some money. If they can hustle a little bit off of us, they will. How many baskets you seen get disappeared? One of them unspoken resentments that people have. I've seen conventions have big time and all of a sudden the bills didn't get paid. $20,000 is gone. Nobody knows where the treasurer is. Well, I hope he lived. But one of the things that has helped also has been coming and seeing y'all. I'm an old road hog from way on back, and part of having had a spiritual awakening has been watching the growth of Narcotics Anonymous. When we had the first World Convention in Atlanta in 1979, the first one for Atlanta, it was number 9 World Convention, but it's the first one. They had another one in 2002 in Atlanta. There was 239 people showed up. And we thought we had a good party. And then the last one I went to, there was 40,000. So it's a lot different now than it was. And in some ways I think it's better, in some ways I don't. But see, that's just me, I'm one that likes big crowds. I've not ever been real skittish about being in a crowd. Some people are. There's people that won't go to a meeting if there's more than 10 people there. I like to go to a meeting where there's a lot of people. But I know that part of being clean brings responsibilities. And, you know, I'm going to do what I can at my group level first. There's a lot of literature on the table, and some of it I agree with and some of it I don't. But at least we got some. When I got here, we didn't have any. And, the predecessors that I look back upon was willing to do what they could to do that. But I know that one of the big things that changed me was getting married. Now, a lot of times, you know, people don't want to talk about relationships, and they told me not to have any my first year, and I can't stand here and tell you that I didn't, because I got a home group. And then I got a sponsor. Then I started, you know, doing service work, because they told me to. I got involved in the area of service work. And I don't know how you do all that without having relationships with different people. Now, of course, one of the ways you can get everybody's attention is say drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And everybody in the room knows what you're talking about. But that's where we have our problems. You know, Mary and I's relationship is a lot better than I ever thought it'd be, but we have our bumps. I don't know how you can put two human beings in the same house and not have problems. Yeah. But at least we're both willing to work on it. And I want to thank y'all for allowing me to be here, and I hope that you have a good time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ed, for coming and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And we have a wonderful way of closing in the circle with the Serenity Prayer.